Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hands, we'll continue the study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, or verse, so we can easily go back to the verses in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious, heavenly, merciful Father, as we continue in our study in the Gospel of Matthew, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to lead us in truth and open the eyes and ears of those who are listening that have not yet to respond to your command to repent, so that you might create in them a new heart and renew a right spirit. We pray for your guidance as to how we are to go forth as we proclaim the gospel. We pray that we might be diligent in our desire to be obedient to thee. Father, bless us as we continue in our study of thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be picking back up and hopefully finish off today, I think, and next week maybe get into Matthew chapter 11. But we've been looking at Satan and studying. We looked at numerous words before we... As we came to the end of chapter 10 and beginning of chapter 11, we were looking at strangers. And we discovered that strangers ultimately are the people who are happy to, proceed or live with the Jews. Particularly, we go back into the Old Testament, many foreign people would attach themselves to the Jews because of type of government and the way they lived life. They weren't necessarily Jews. Over time, they had the opportunity to maybe become a Jew. A Jew is not a Jew that is necessarily outward. A Jew is that which is inwardly, where circumcision is that of the heart. And that goes on also into the New Testament era. There are many people, like let's take America, for instance. You know, America clearly is a Christian nation, absolutely founded on the Bible, which is what the common law is. It's really the Bible. It's common sense. It's the law that God has put into our hearts. And atheists and many people are happy to live underneath that kind of a structure of living, which ultimately, again, the law is the Bible. We know that the beast is a picture, ultimately, of unsaved mankind. We know that angels are messengers. That's what we've learned. And it could Christ is a messenger. He's the chief messenger. And of course, there are angels and angelic beings. We don't necessarily understand too much about that, but they're spiritual beings. Like Satan is a spiritual being. He also was an angel, a messenger. He was a covering cherub, which is what we've been looking at lately. We also understand that Jacob and Israel, Jacob, you know, the Bible tells us that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated in the womb before they even became into this world. But Jacob is a picture of an individual who is unsaved, but eventually will become saved. Jacob have I loved in the womb. So God loves his people. You know, before we become born again or anything, Jesus loved us. Christ loved us. He's the one that makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And of course, once we become born again, we identify with Israel. Israel is my son. And we've been looking particularly at Satan and the devils. I'm not sure whether we looked at the three heavens. I know in the past we have, but maybe if we have a little time today, we'll take a look at the three heavens. We only have a few pages left to review in Satan. So let's take a look at that. We're going to pick up pretty much where we left off. We had finished looking at Ezekiel 38. And we've went through a lot of these verses, but what I want to do is kind of just read through Ezekiel 28 as a review. Ezekiel 28 gives us a lot of pictures of the names of Satan, I guess you might say. So Ezekiel 28 verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Now the prince of Tyrus, of course, is Satan. He's a prince, he's a king. And he's and of course Tyrus identifies with his dominion, ultimately the world. He's the prince and power of the world. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Now, we will see that he is identified as a god, as a prince, but of course not the all-powerful God, and that's who Satan desired to be and to take his seat. And we see here that God is calling Satan a man. Thou art a man, because he identifies with man. He dwells in the heart of men. That's where he, the hearts of men are his playground, the place where we read last week, we looked particularly where we read a verse where God said that that Satan entered into Judas when Jesus said, go do that which you ought to do. And Satan entered into him, the Bible said, and he went and betrayed Christ. But thou art a man and not God, though thine set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. And remember, strangers are outside of, they're worldly people, ultimately. But again, there are a picture of strangers that we did look at. There are some strangers that attached themselves to Israel as they wandered and eventually settled. And it's true, of course, in the New Testament, too. But nevertheless, okay, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of nations, and they shall draw their sword against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. We know that the seas identify with the world, and of course the pit identifies with being brought down into hell. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God. Again, referring to Satan as a man. And this helps us to really understand the number of the beast, which is the number of man, or the number of mankind. A lot of people are looking for a man, a specific Antichrist, and we read in the Bible early on that Satan is already in the world, that the man of sin is already there, identified particularly, of course, with Judas. And there are many Antichrists, and it has always been many Antichrists. So let me step back. Wilt thou yet say before me that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God, in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord, or Jehovah, came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. Okay, so we hear that Lord called him the prince of Tyrus early on in verse 1, and now he's referring to him as the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So again, we know that he was a created being. He was in the garden, and everything was given to him as a covering. And we read on in the next verse, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." So that picture, of course, was covering, of course, the covering of the creation. He was to be the caretaker of creation. And so he's identified as a cherub. And we know that this is the beginning. You know, here again, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And then he goes on to talk about all these precious stones as his covering. And then, of course, that he is a covering of the creation. So at that point in time, Satan, of course, had not fallen. The fall was ultimately at the fall of man. That is the fall of Satan at the same time, when iniquity was found in him. So back to 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." He was able to cross over from the spiritual world into this world. Back, and of course, he is a spirit. He lives in the spiritual world. But he also can come into this world. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." And that leads us over into Isaiah 14, which we're going to look at next. So let me reread this again. "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted by thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries, and by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee." And of course, that's judgment. "And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Now, I do believe that this is about to happen in this world at this point, the judgment, which we read about here in Isaiah 14. It gives us a lot of insight on this. So let me reread those last couple of verses here. "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring a fire from the midst of thee." The judgment will come from the midst of him. Remember, he is the prince and power of the air. "It shall devour thee," the judgment of God. "I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." And we'll see that in Isaiah 14. "And I will bring... And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." So, the judgment of Satan. Now we go into Isaiah 14. And this brings us to a time period in this world when nations shall be judged, when Satan shall be judged, and thereby nations shall be judged. And the saying will be, "Is this the man that deceived the nations?" So Isaiah 14, verse 1. "For Jehovah will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob." And we talked about the strangers, and the strangers are cleaving to the house of Jacob. Jacob identifies with the corporate church, and the strangers are in the corporate church, as well as Jacob is being in the corporate church, and of course Israel is in the corporate church, and of course Christ, the body of Israel is the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within Israel, so if he's dwelling within Israel, and Israel, being the body of Christ, is dwelling in a corporate body, a corporate church. Or a nation, even a nation is referred to as a house, like the nation of Israel. And I believe we can look today as the United States being a nation of Israel also, the city on the hill, the light of the world, bringing the candle, the cross. But anyway, So strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So they shall cleave to the church. You know, many people in the church are unsaved, and it has always been the case. And again, you know, in the nation of Israel, we know that most Jews were not necessarily the children of God, although they were children of Abraham, but yet they have rejected him. We saw that story played out numerous times. And I think when we get into, I think, Matthew 12 or 13, we're going to look at a really interesting picture of this, what we're talking about right now, cleaving to the house of Jacob, and that being the corporate church, and the body of Christ is within that corporate church. You know, in Revelation, in our Revelation study, looking through Revelation and into Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13, all of which speak about the end days, the end of the world, giving us insight on different things. Okay, we saw there a picture of the people. Goodness, I lost my train of thought on that. Anyway, maybe I'll pick it back up. And the people shall take, let me step back and begin at the beginning. For Jehovah will have mercy on Jacob, yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And I remember now what I wanted to say. He was talking about the matrix, or the belly. We read about that in Revelation particularly, where John is told to take that little book and eat it. And the little book was the Word of God, and it tasted sweet as honey. But in the belly, in the birthing place, in the corporate church, okay, it became a bellyache. It became a problem. It was rejected. It was sour. And why was it? Because at that some point in time, of course, you know, the corporate church were no longer bringing forth the gospel, and the saints will be out into the world bringing the gospel outside of a church without a ship, spiritually speaking, a ship. So, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Jehovah for servants and for handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that Jehovah shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. And the golden city is the corporate body. It's the place where the gospel was being preached. But also, how has the oppressor ceased? And of course, the oppressor is Satan. Jehovah hath broken the staff of the wicked and the sceptre of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing. And that, I believe, is we're at that time in this world today when we're about to, this is spiritual, we're going to see this spiritually. Of course, those without spiritual eyes are unable to see this. But, you know, we're commanded to have a spiritual mind. God tells us if our mind is carnally minded, that carnally minded means death. Spiritually minded gives life. God opens our eyes and our ears, and we see and we understand to whatever it is that he wants each and every one of us individually to understand. We're all part of the whole. The body of Christ, you know, the Bible speaks about one being the hand and the other the arm and another a foot, and making up the body of Christ. And Christ, of course, being that head. But here we're reading about he who smote the people in wrath, the Satan smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. That took place in church and also in the nations. He rules the nations. He's the prince and power of the air. He's Leviathan. He that ruled the nation in anger, the nations, plural, all the world, in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. So now it's a time of judgment. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. And fir trees identify with people. And the cedars with people of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow has come up against us. Now, that word feller identifies with a tree cutter, one who fells trees is a feller. So no tree cutter has come up against us. And trees identify with people. So he's not cutting down people anymore. So let me back off and read that again. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller, no tree cutter, has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, all they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? This is when Satan is destroyed in this world. Judgment must come upon the nations and must come upon Satan in this world prior to becoming to the final judgment upon all. Art thou has become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worm covereth thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, thou which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. And again, we read about this idea of him taking the seat in the temple back here in, what was this, Ezekiel 28. let me see. How art thou fallen from heaven? I'll pick up there, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? We know that this is talking about Satan. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And remember, he was asked, is this the man? Maybe we haven't hit that verse yet. For thou hast extended thy heart, I will send up into heaven. I will exalt my throne above all the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And the clouds identify, of course, but with the believers, you know, we're a cloud of witnesses. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Again, here is Satan, identified as a man, because he works in man. He dwells in the hearts of men. You know, again, we either have the Spirit of Christ or we're none of his. And if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we have the Spirit of Antichrist. And to narrowly look upon thee is a picture or an idea of being judged, a time of judgment. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. And that judgment day is coming in this world before the Lord comes. And after this comes and goes, I don't know how long the time is going to be, but there's nothing left in the sense of judgment, because the final judgment day will come when the Lord will return. So any time after this, when we see this happening, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And remember, if we are caught up in a false gospel, in a church that has gone apostate, and then we have been in prison. You know, I remember when the idea came out that it was time to depart out, come out of her, my people. The great apostasy had come. But during the time period, we were prisoners within an apostate church, a place where the gospel had gone sour, where another gospel, another Jesus, the enemy had taken seized control. So let's back up 17. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and the cities identify with the churches, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And to be cast out of the grave is the idea of not being buried with Christ in his baptism. Unsaved, cast out. like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword. The word of God is a sword, a two-edged sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. And of course, the pit identifies with hell. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, to be buried with Christ in his baptism, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for the children, for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. You know, and again, the cities of Leviathan, the destruction, and that goes beyond the spiritual picture, the destruction of the churches, of course, and then the destruction of nations, and that was his focus. But now God is saying, prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land. And again, it's a spiritual land and a literal land. You know, we're at about the point of the world going into slavery. Nor fill the face of the world with their cities, their dark cities. For I will raise up against thee, saying, saith Jehovah of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant, the son and the nephew, saith the Lord, or saith Jehovah. I will also make it a possession for the bitten and pools of water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction. That word besom is broom. With the broom of destruction, saith Jehovah of hosts. Jehovah of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Jehovah of hosts hath purposed, and whom shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Okay, so again, Isaiah 14, in my mind, is very, very clear, especially when you relate it to 28 and many, many other verses, even through Revelations and going into other verses that talk about the end of the world, Matthew 24, Luke 21, I think it is, and Mark 13. And so, again, you know, he is referred to as a prince. He's referred to as a king. He's referred to as a god with a little g. He's referred to as a cherub, an angel. An anointed cherub, one who was a covering. So we see many pictures here of Satan being identified with Satan. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read in verses 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first. King James puts it as the falling away first. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And of course, we will see that Satan is ruling, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that temple he sits in is the temple of mankind that's in the that has filled the corporate churches. And again, from my perspective, I don't think any of the churches have really, I think they've all fallen away, but you know, maybe there's something out there that I'm not aware of, but the Word of God seems pretty clear that there's nothing out there. A lot of churches may look like they have something going for themselves and bringing forth a true gospel, but when you dig down deep, you start to find some problems in the foundations that they are built upon. You know, the doctrines of men have overwhelmed a lot of churches. But again, I can't really say absolutely that there isn't one little city. You know, remember we get the picture when Lot flees, comes out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he flees to this little city, and he says, Lord, let me stay here. It's just a little city. Let me just stay here in this place, you know. And God says, no, get ye hence out, go. And as he's departing out, and you know, departing out of that little city and up into the mountains, which is where he was heading for, you know, the judgment of God from heaven, the fire from heaven, was at his heels. So from that picture, it makes me think that there is no churches left. But that doesn't mean that there aren't any prisoners in there. That doesn't mean that there aren't people in there that are God's children, that have been caught up. You know, we read a little bit in one of the seven churches, particularly, it talks about that they don't realize that they're actually in the house of Satan. And God says, I'm not going to put anything more upon you, you know. So there has been churches, I don't want to name churches, but there has been churches that have been apostate for, you know, 1,000 years already. And maybe a couple of thousand years, shall I say, probably. And yet, God's children had been in them. There was, you know, at least the reading of the gospel, and God can bless, even though they distort it, God can bless people by the reading of the gospel. So anyway, that's all God's business. We can't really figure that out completely. So let me go back and see what we'll pick up. I'll pick up here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apostasy at first, a falling away, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, that's the corporate body, and in the hearts of unsaved men, or at least the false prophets, the false teachers, showing himself that he is God. It's another Jesus coming with another gospel. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, and that leads us to the referral of Satan as a man. Okay, in Revelation 13, verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of mankind. It is the beast, the number of man, and his number is 666, which of course is 666, which is equal to 2/3, and as we read through our Bible, God constantly speaks of 2/3 and 1/3. 2/3 being lost, and 1/3 being tried, to taken through the fire, and tried and saved. So God identifies that that 1/3 as being the body of Christ, and the 2/3 is a picture of the beast, ultimately, 1/3 that has taken control of the corporate body, and who is part of the beast is the temple of Satan, and the 1/3 totally outside of the whole thing, and as far as the church is concerned, and so the 1/3 that's living in the world and the sea, that has no mind of anything religion, not focusing at all, but you got 1/3 and out of the church, and 1/3 in the church, which is 2/3, 666, referring to that time period when the beast has taken control. We read in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. That's the 2/3. But the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And of course, that's tried in the heat, you know, the melting of gold, or the melting of silver, and the impurities rise to the top and are skimmed off, and then it's melted and it's left to I guess heal, you might say, to cool down, and then it's tried again, it's heated up again, and more impurities come, and more this is done, the purer the gold becomes, the purer the silver becomes, and the silver and the gold identify with the believers. And so I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Jehovah is my God. Okay, so very interesting picture. Clearly, God refers to Satan as a man, but we can see the picture of man or mankind identifying with the beast. This is a mystery. These are mysteries that God is revealing to us. Now, another picture is I have said ye are gods, the sons of God. You know, we've read last week, I think it was, we looked at John chapter 1, behold what manner of love that God the Father has behold what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Okay, now are we the sons of God. So Genesis chapter 2, let's look at this, where God speaks about calling men gods. Satan is referred to as God, gods. Mankind is referred to as gods. The body of Christ is referred to as gods. Of course, the gods identifying with Satan are lost. And of course, the gods that God tries and brings through the fire identifies with the children of God. And he makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he calls us son. So, I have said ye are gods, or sons of God. Genesis 2:7, and Jehovah God formed the man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now remember, we were created in the image and likeness of God. Not in our fleshly bodies, but in our spiritual bodies, and in the idea that we have a mind, and we have a soul, and we have a heart, and that soul and heart and mind, ultimately, I believe we can say is one. You know, we can know our heart by examining our heart from our mind, you know, and it's whatever's going on in our heart is going on in our mind. And that's where we need a clean heart, creating us a clean heart. And then once he cleans our heart, then he puts a right spirit in us. But here is the picture of the breath of life, a living soul. Man has become a living soul. Job chapter 7, verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? So the question is, what is man? In Psalms, we read in 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Okay, Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And of course that is the son of man, which of course is Christ, but we too are the son of man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We too are sons of men. You know, Satan is a son of man also. But he has fallen away. And so we've seen him in many pictures, the cherub, the covering cherub, a created being. Is this the man? He's referred to as a man. He's a god. He's a prince. And he's a king. Psalm 144:3. Jehovah, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest an account of him? Psalms 82, verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Now again, that gods is plural. He's judging upon man. You know, again, This world, I think we can see it as a birthing place. Christ is the door, the way, the truth, and the life, and the light. You know, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And the only way out of this world into eternity with God is through the door. You know, and if anybody tries to enter any other way, is a thief trying to break in. But you got to go through the door. And when we look into this world, what is the prerequisite to become a son of God? A prerequisite is it to become a son of God is first to become a son of man, you know, to which of the angels did he call son, you know? So we have to, the first order of business, of course, is to become a son of man. In order for that, we might become a son of God. So in a way, this world in itself is a matrix, and the matrix is the womb, the birthing place, the place where children are born, and this is where the children of God are born. This is where the battle is at. The battle plays out, Armageddon plays out in this world, not only within our own souls against our own flesh, crucifying the flesh, ruling and reigning with Christ in our lives, but also in the world literally, in a sense, the great Armageddon, the falling away, the apostasia, and so on. Let's start again in the beginning of Psalm 82:1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Shelah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So again, God refers to us as gods, little g. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love. You know, that's what I meant to say before. It was 1 John 3, 1, I think it was. No. Maybe it was in the Gospel of John. We looked in. That was with the Word becoming flesh. Well, I think this is the verses really I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And that seed, of course, is Christ. And it is Christ. We're to be perfect, even as the Father is perfect. And God is Spirit. And so in our spirit form, we are perfect. We cannot sin in the spirit no more. We cannot sin in our soul existence. And again, in our flesh, if we confess not that we're sinners, if we don't confess that we're sinners, then the truth is not in us. And we make God a liar, the Bible tells us. So we know that we're still sinners. We're crucifying the flesh. But we're perfect in our heart and in our souls and our minds, in the sense that because Christ dwelleth in us, and he is the one that is perfect, even as the Father is perfect, then we identify with Christ. And we are living and reigning and ruling with him in our heart, in the throne. We are living with Christ in our heart, ruling and reigning over our bodies, crucifying the flesh. So, of course, the sin is in the flesh, and we are always battling the flesh. And therein is the picture of the inward Armageddon. In this, let me back up. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. The seed, of course, is the gospel, it's Christ, it's the Word. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of devil, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And remember, Christ is our righteousness. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew ye him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And this is key. For if our heart condemn us, if we're honest with ourselves, this is how we can know that we are born again. If our hearts condemn us not, and we got to be careful we don't deceive ourselves. We need to be looking. You know, if we fall into sin, immediately we move into repentance. Immediately we recognize that sin. We don't dwell in it. We don't live in it. We recognize it. We repent of it. And we turn to God and ask for more strength to deny it. And to keep us, and as we're in that process of talking to God, sin is forgotten and it's falling away from us. So if our hearts condemn us, that's how we know. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, and that's the key, then have we confidence towards God. And again, I don't think people are honest with themselves. I know early on I wasn't honest with myself. And it took me a while to see this. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And how do we love one another? We share the gospel. We have the desire for the others to hear that gospel, to respond. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man means a lot. It availeth much, the Bible tells us. It means a lot to God. It's part of the process he uses to bring forth the gospel. You know, the gospel was given by Christ to the disciples, and the disciples brought it out into the world and gave it to others, and those brought it out to others and gave it to others, all the way down to us. And we too can sit at the feet of Jesus, which is exactly what we're doing right now as we look into the gospels. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do all those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So his Spirit bears witness to our spirit in the sense that he dwells within us. And we have the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit we don't have. We don't have the Spirit of man, but we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And so when we hear the Word of God, and the Spirit bears witness to us that we are born again, or not. Isaiah 41, verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, Jehovah, will hear them. Now, the poor is the poor in spirit, and the needy that seek, and they're the needy, seeking water. The water is the gospel. And without the gospel, spiritually speaking, without the water, the tongue faileth for thirst. But Jehovah will hear them. I, God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers. Out of our rivers will flow. Out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And of course, the bellies, of course, identify with the corporate church, but it also identifies with the believer. Out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. I will open rivers in high places where God is at, and the fountains in the midst of the valleys, the fountain of life, water. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the chichar tree and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider. And remember, trees identify with people and under nations, and understand together that the hand of Jehovah hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel I have created it. Produce your cause, saith Jehovah. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things that they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. So God refers to the good and evil both as gods. And again, gods being the children of God, the sons of God, and of course identifying with Satan as a god. John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto them, How long doest thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, they respond. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews, they understood now. He's saying, I'm God. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For good work we stone thee not, but for the blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood what he was saying. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If I called them gods, unto whom, now he's, again, he is claiming to be God right here. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him. But he escaped out of their hands, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Okay, that brings us to the end of this. We've only got a few minutes left. Maybe we'll take a look at, John, Gospel of John. We're going to go to, I think it's John 17. Yeah, this is it. This is where Christ is ready to go to the cross. He's up in the garden. He's up on the mountain and in the garden. And Gethsemane. And he's praying to God, his Father. And he says, These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all are mine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I glorify in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I came, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak unto the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Bring them unto thee here and give thy word. Sanctify them through thy truth, through thy word. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for this, their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Again, you know, he was talking about the disciples, and the disciples received the word from Christ, and the disciples brought it out into the world and gave it to others, and so on, all the way down to us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all, and they were the witnesses, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Okay, I guess that brings us to the end of our study tonight. And let's see, next week, let me see if we get... next week we're going to pick up back in Matthew chapter 11. We spent a lot of time looking at Satan and looking at these things. I think I did do the three heavens already, because I remember Tim had asked a question concerning something, and I'm pretty sure we spoke about that. But we're going to start off right in Matthew 11, verse 1, unless if anybody feels we should review the three heavens again. Okay, we'll pick up then. And until then, Lord willing, we'll see you. God bless. Good night.
Good night.